Hi everyone. My name is Lindsay G. LG. See, people get us confused. I am a grateful compulsive overeater and food addict, and I am very happy to be here with all of you today. I'm a little nervous to share, and that's okay. I think I'm going to start out my share with a prayer, if that's okay. I'm going to do the third step prayer, which is located on page 63 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous. So we're just going to take a moment of silence for the sick and suffering in and out of the Zooms and rooms and everyone everywhere. We're going to pray for their health, their well-being, their peace, and their serenity. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. All right. So, as I said, my name is Lindsay G, and I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater and food addict. Just to further qualify, I'm also an alcoholic and a drug addict. I am a triple winner, and I probably qualify for some other programs too, but three 12-step fellowships is enough for me right now. I tend to do all or nothing thinking, and I tend to go big, and I don't want to overload myself. I've heard incredible speakers. I'm going to set my own timer as well, just because I want to make sure I have enough time to share my experience, strength, and hope. I've heard some incredible speakers, and I've gained a lot of knowledge and wisdom from them. And I have an incredible sponsor who shared with me her tips on sharing her story and. I've always been told that we share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And I like to start my shares with a little reading from the book of Alcoholics Anonymous for whatever's striking me at the moment. So I'm actually going to go to the foreword to the first edition, which is on page 13 XIII of the Big Book, fourth edition. And I'm going to read the text as is, but feel free to substitute, like I often do, for the word alcoholics with whatever compulsive food behavior you are dealing with. And it says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book." I have a solution in this book to my problems, and for that I am eternally grateful. I'm offered two things in the OA meetings and the OA program. I'm offered a solution, and I'm offered support. A solution in the form of the 12 steps, which I work with a sponsor. And the support in the form of the meetings and the fellowship and the network that I'm building around me, my hula hoop of people. And the meetings offer me supports. They offer me people with experience, strength, and hope, with wisdom, with triumph and heartbreak, with problems like mine. And they offer me support. I could not do this program alone. I could not do recovery alone. I tried that, and I'll get into that a little bit further in my share. But in my experience, life is not a journey to walk alone, and recovery, especially, is one where I need a tribe of people. It takes a village, and that has been true in my experience. So I'll start off with just a little bit about me. one of the co-founders of AA, Dr. Bob, I was born an only child, which I think imbibed me with some selfishness and some narcissism from the very start. I was used to getting my own way. And to be honest, I still am. And that's one of the things that I struggle with, is when things don't go my way. I was raised by an alcoholic mother and a military father who was a workaholic. And from the get-go, I was restless, irritable, and discontented. I had a pretty privileged upbringing. One thing that I have since identified as maybe something that caused a lot of turmoil is the fact that I moved around a lot when I was growing up. You know, there was never housing insecurity. There was never food insecurity. You know, I always had a roof over my head, but where that roof was going to be varied greatly. I went to 5 different elementary schools as a result of my father's work and having to move around a lot. And from a very early age, that imbibed me with a sense of discomfort around people. And I have problems with forming healthy, long-term relationships and attachments. Because when I was growing up, you know, I would never get too close to people. Because it's like, well, why bother? Because I'm just going to be uprooted and move again in 2 to 5 years, 2 to 3 years. I was an anxious child. My mother, through no fault of her own, through the fault of the disease that she suffered with, was a perfectionist. And I picked up on that very, very early. Being raised in a household with active disease meant that I was always on guard, always walking on eggshells, and always getting mixed messages. Having someone tell me that they love me, but then act in different ways confused me. My mother was also a person who was hyper body and body image focused. I remember seeing her nitpicking herself in the mirror and obsessing over her weight. And those were traits I learned early. I was a very obstinate child. Perhaps it was my fierce independent streak coming out very early. But I remember when I was probably 9 or 10, my mom would wake me up in the morning and she'd make me go take a shower. And what I would do is I would go into the bathroom, close the door, turn the shower on, and then go sleep on the floor of the shower for 10 to 15 minutes instead of taking a shower. You could not tell me what to do. And one of the things I'm learning in program is humility and the fact that, you know what, Lindsay, sometimes you don't know what's best for you. Sometimes you just got to get in the shower. And I'm very grateful for that. There's another line I want to read that is relating to my story. It's in chapter 5, How It Works, on page 58. It says, there are people, or there are those too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. I am, like I mentioned at the top of my share, I am multiply blessed with lots of things going on in my brain. And one of those is depression and anxiety. And I'm pretty open about that. It mentions that. It mentions seeking outside help in the book. And looking back, I can see that my depression and anxiety probably kicked in very early, like age 10 or 11, which coincidentally is right around the time where my parents got separated and then divorced. And coincidentally, right around the time where my eating behaviors became really problematic. I started gaining weight around that time. And I remember at a very young age, turning to food to feed my emotions, not just to nourish my body, but to feed my emotions, to make the worst seem better and to make the better seem best. Food was my comfort. Food was my friend. Food was something that would not tell me that I did anything wrong. Food was not something that told me I was a failure or jaded or an a-hole. Food was something that was always there for me, unlike my father, who had to travel for work in the military. When I was 5 years old, he was stationed on an atoll in the Indian Ocean for an entire year, and I didn't see him. And I remember before he left, we took VHS recordings, video recordings of him and I sitting on the couch and him reading my favorite stories to me. So that when I wanted my father, I could play those tapes. Food was something that I turned to in a moment of need, and it showed up for me. But I heard in another room about another substance, which I can apply to food, is food saved my life, then food became my life, and then food destroyed my life. And that has been my experience. I went on through the years continuing to eat compulsively. My behaviors got worse and worse. I started sneaking food. I started hiding food. I started eating one way in public and then eating an entirely different way in private or I could be alone and eat how I wanted to. Coincidentally, my drinking was also like that. You know, I would be out and maintain a level of decorum, but then when I came home, the party kept on going. And I can see that pattern of behavior amongst all the problems that I have with behaviors. And this is about behaviors. My disease of compulsive eating is progressive. It gets worse over time, never better. It is incurable. Science may one day accomplish a cure for compulsive overeating, but it hasn't done so yet. There's no pill I can take that's going to change my brain. There's no surgery I can have that's going to change my brain. And they haven't perfected brain transplants yet. So that's not going to change my brain. And to be perfectly honest, where I am today is a place where I wouldn't want a brain transplant anyways. I used to see people walking down the street. Anytime I saw a person smaller than me, a woman smaller than me, I would say, I want to be that person. Not, I want to look like that person. Not, oh, I value the way they look. Not, oh, they're beautiful. But I want to be that person. I was so uncomfortable with who I was that I wanted to fundamentally change everything about me. I can also say that in recovery today, I'm learning how to love and accept myself. Now, in all honesty, I still see someone with a smaller body size than me and say, oof, my defect of jealousy still kicks in. But there's been a subtle change in how I talk to myself and what I say. I don't say I want to be that person. I say I want to look like that person. Because fundamentally, thank you so much. Fundamentally, I'm changing. I'm changing because of recovery. Nothing changes unless everything changes. And I've changed basically everything. And I'm reaping the benefits of that. The literature tells me that I suffer from a threefold illness, an illness of the mind, body, and spirit. And there is a solution for all three of those problems. And it is found in the Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and in the program of OA. Like I said before, which I want to harp on, and I'll probably share this multiple times. In this program, I am offered a solution and I am offered support. And those things working in concert are what allows me to stay clean, sober, and abstinent, most of all, abstinent one day at a time. I want to talk a little bit about my experience with the steps. So I came into OA first in 2019. I had found OA through a sister program. And I'm a little disjointed. Thank you for bearing with me on this journey. I had come to OA from a sister program, and I went to a couple in-person meetings because this was pre-pandemic. So this was when there was still brick and mortar or in-person or door and floor meetings. And I went to a couple meetings and I knew that I related and I knew that I qualified, but what I wasn't ready to do was being willing. And I was still a baby in my other program, so I wasn't very open-minded. So I stopped going to meetings, and I had never really adopted the tools at all. I just was dipping my toe in. But from that point on, it was always in the back of my head. You know, it's there. It's there when you need it. Well, not when you need it, when you want it. Because I needed it from the age of 10. And then after 2 years of increased suffering, I came back to the rooms of OA last fall. And I found this platform, which is absolutely incredible. And I want to take the opportunity now to thank everyone who's being of service right now. Thank you for helping this meeting run. Thank you for helping carry the message. This is 12-step work y'all are doing, helping to carry the message to other people who still suffer. And this meeting wouldn't exist without you. And I need these meetings. My life depends upon it. And I need that support. And I started going to meetings regularly and I got a food plan. But what I did not do was get a sponsor or start working the steps in earnest. I was basically sitting in one. And I didn't get any sort of food neutrality in that time. And I ended up relapsing. The cravings were so overwhelming and I wasn't turning them over to anything or anyone. I was just sitting with them and they became so uncomfortable that I planned a binge. And I said to myself, I made a list of all the foods that I had been thinking about. And I said to myself, all right, I'm going to go out for one day and eat those foods and then get right back on program. And that one day turned into months. And my eating behavior even progressed in that amount of time. I'm going to extend the metaphor from another program I've heard. You know, a head full of OA and a belly full of food is a bad combination. Once the wool's been pulled out from over my eyes, I can't put it back. And I knew that what I was doing was problematic, and I knew I needed help, but I was unable to stop that cycle until I was ready to come back. And I came back, and y'all welcomed me back. Welcome home. My eating behavior is absolutely unmanageable. And I'm absolutely powerless over it. And I want to talk a little bit in about my process through the steps. Step one, I tried to manage my disease for a long time and it did not work. I even had weight loss surgery in 2015, and I got down to a quote unquote, whatever that means, normal body weight. And the insanity was still there because there's no cure for what I have. There's band-aids. There's quick fixes. And I think that if I had had a program back then, if I had actually followed the directions like they told me to do, they didn't mention OA, but they told me to like go to support groups and get a network. Maybe I would have been successful at keeping the weight off, but who knows? And I don't drift into morbid reflection today. So my journey is my journey, and what happened is what happened. But what happened was I regained almost all of my weight. I tried to manage it through self-will. I'm a willful person and I am disciplined in many areas, but when it comes to food, I am not. I have a lot of self-knowledge about myself. I've spent thousands of dollars in therapy and I know myself pretty well. But just because I know that I have a problem, is that 5 minutes, Leah? Thank you. Just because I know that I have a problem does not mean that I know how to fix the problem or that I can fix the problem. I tried to manage it by self-sufficiency and it didn't work. Step two, came to believe in a power greater than myself. I'm still working on my higher power, but the most important thing is that it's not me. I am not God. There is something bigger and greater than me that's working in my life. Step three, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. You know, that's my thoughts and my actions. I align myself with the program today. And I have gotten relief, one day at a time. I love the fact that this meeting is called Daily Reprieve, and that's from the book. It is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol or food is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve, contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. By continuing to work the steps, after I had a solid foundation in one, two, three, I went on to step four, the pen to paper step, making that more fearless and searching moral inventory of myself and seeing what's really going on. It says in the book that that alcohol or food was but a symptom. I had to get down to causes and conditions, the resentments, the fears, my conduct with others, the manifestations of self that got me to where I am and will continue to keep me in a broken place unless I address them. I have a wonderful sponsor, and my step five was very illuminating experience. And it allowed me to see very clearly my defects of character, which I manage one day at a time. There is so much hope in these rooms, and I want to leave you with that in my last couple minutes. Recovery is possible. When I think about recovery long term, that terrifies me. Like I said, I've got anxiety, and my brain will freak out about anything. But when I think about, oh, I have to stay abstinent for this long, or oh, I have to, I'll never be able to eat XYZ food again, or I'll never be able to eat after X time, you know, that sets myself up for failure. So whenever I have those thoughts, I immediately say to myself, sometimes out loud, one day at a time, Lindsay, one day at a time. That's all I have to manage. Sometimes it's 12 hours at a time. In the first few days and weeks, sometimes it was 1 hour at a time. Like, let me just make it through this next hour without acting out. And that's worked for me. There's a lot of triads in recovery, right? Mind, body, spirit, my illness, the principles, the steps, and the traditions, right? What guides us in unity, service, and recovery, how I operate. And I operate from a place of unity, service, and recovery today. I do service in other platforms and hopefully on this platform soon. That's something that interests me. But I don't have to have any time in order to be of service. Showing up to a meeting is being of service. Raising my hand and sharing is service, whether I'm thriving or surviving or in a spiral that day. That shows other people that it is possible, to share and be open. Unity is extremely important to me. And like I said, I need the unity for that support. I need OA. And I'll close out my last 30 seconds with this. If you are new, welcome. If you are struggling, keep on going. If you're back after relapse like I was, don't let the shame and guilt overwhelm you. It is a process. If you're thriving today, share that with us. If you're just surviving and getting by, share that with us. We recover together. And that solution and that support that I get is absolutely miraculous. So thank you all for allowing me to share with you all. I hope you got something out of that. I'll put my number in chat in case anyone wants to be part of my network. And thank you again to everyone who's being of service. Thank you to everyone who is here helping me participate in my recovery today. And I'll go ahead and mute myself.